Right across the other side of downtown, there's a special session on tax reform going on. A lot of items being looked at right now. Is everything moving in the right direction for small business, though? Joining us now to talk about that from the National Federation for Independent Business, we got Leah Long on the hotline. Leah, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing very well as well. What's NFIB looking at for this session?
So, you know, we are in support of lowering the personal income tax rate. You know, most of our members are, you know, LLCs, or they file as pass-through entities. So that's something we're looking at. But there are a few things that we have a little bit concern over. I think, you know, it's finally catching on that to pay for the personal income tax rate decrease is basically an expansion of taxes on services. And so that's definitely going to affect our members. It's going to raise the cost of doing business. And so that's something we're looking at. You know, you look at states around us like Mississippi and Arkansas, they've lowered their personal income tax rate without expansion of sales tax on services. And so that's something we're paying attention to, because we already have such a complicated tax system and sales tax collection system, and we don't have centralized sales tax. So it is going to make it harder on business owners that have never had to collect and remit sales tax before, because they're going to have to hire someone to comply. And, you know, if they don't comply and they're, you know, they're not sure how to do it or it's complicated, that's going to open them up to a lot of audits. So that's definitely one big thing we're paying attention to. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about inventory tax credit, and that's something, you know, if these parishes don't opt out and they get that $15 million lump sum, that's fine, because then you don't have to worry about inventory tax in that parish. But the ones that continue to keep the inventory tax and the inventory tax credit goes away for these business owners, that's a drastic hit. So the credit's gone, and they're now still going to have to pay. So that's another one. And my last one I'm a little concerned about is vendor comp. So there's a bill that's going to basically take away the vendor comp, and some people don't really know what that does. But if you collect and remit your sales tax every month on time, basically you get a percent back. It's a small percent. It's capped at $1,500, but it's something, you know, these business owners get for collecting and remitting sales tax for the state. So it's one of those things that you want the small business owner that's already facing a lot and dealing with, you know, just the cost of goods, inflation, everything, to basically collect money for the government, local and state, for free. So that's a big issue we're looking at. But, you know, I have hope that they're going to be able to find a middle ground for everybody, for local government and industry, to kind of make the state better, because we want to move the state better, and now is the time. But I think there's different ways of looking at it.
Talk with Leah Long from the National Federation for Independent Business about the effects of the tax reform session on small business. Leah, as I understand it, a lot of these individual tax credits that are kind of being run through the ringer here, they're being sunsetted at the end of next year with the hopes of kind of evaluate, well, I shouldn't say the end of next year, the end of next fiscal year, with the hopes of evaluating to kind of figure out what's good and what's bad. What are you hearing about the possibility of, like, even if they all get wiped right now, bringing them right back on without a gap in service?
I mean, some people say that, but it's not going to help the interim. You know what I mean? These, right. You know, they're still going to suffer. And, you know, for the ones that are going to have to, you know, they're saying that there's going to be an amnesty period to collect and remit sales tax and maybe push it to June. Let's say this thing does pass and they want to start on January 1st. But, you know, there's going to be an amnesty period. But in the meantime, some of these tax credits that are going away, let's say the inventory tax credit, you know, what happens when in the meantime they still have to pay that at the end of the year? So even if they come back, let's say 2025, 2026 and reevaluate or whatever it may be, you know, it's not going to help in the interim. So I think you've got to think about the businesses and what it's going to cost them right now to do it. If this plan were to pass, what is the average cost that a business owner may pay for complying with the new tax code? Even if they, you know, they say that they're going to save on their personal income tax rate. Yeah, you know, no one really knows at this point. It depends on how much business you do and what the economy is like and, you know, how much it's going to cost to comply to everything.
Yeah, and not having consolidated sales tax collection is going to be a big item here, because, and this is something that's made its way through the legislature before and then fell short at the ballot. So
yeah.
I don't know how quickly the state legislature would want to pick that back up again. I know it's worthwhile if they want to do it again. It's now that you see everything that's come through it, bringing all that to light and knowing how business gets done, man, it's just, yeah. you know, I think giving the public a second chance at that would show a different result, to be sure. We're talking with Leah Long from NFIB about the tax reform session going on right now. Leah, I couldn't help but notice in HB1 in particular, this is Julie Emerson's bill. This is the one that started off by lowering the personal income tax, but there are close to 24 individual tax credits that just get wiped away along with this bill. I can't help but notice that they're going to have a bigger impact on small business than on big business, because if you're big business, all you have to do is look at that bottom line. A lot of small businesses, each line within that P&L is going to matter. So is there a way to get involved, get the conversation moved over to let's tweak these bills before they're through rather than have a cleanup period afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, it's all great to say we're going to come back in April and have a cleanup period, but I don't think that's the mindset. If they're the ability to do tax reform right now, and, you know, I know they're saying that there could be a lot of amendments on the floor when everything gets to the floor, and so I'm hopeful to see that. I know you got to get it to the House and, you know, maybe clean up in the Senate side, but that's the thing, you know. There's got to be a middle ground for everyone to meet here, because you can't expect business owners to pay for this. Basically, you know, you're basing this tax plan on the backs of small business owners, and that's really difficult, because you think about it, small business owners pretty much pay like all the sales tax that's collected in the state in reality, because they pay through their business, you know, they pay when they're buying stuff for their, you know, whatever they're selling. And so it's one thing to look at, and I'm hopeful that we can bring some amendments to try to adjust some of these bills, but I guess we'll see. I think the House votes on several bills today. I think they're on the floor, so we're going to see what happens.
We're talking with Leah Long from NFIB. We're going to see what happens part of this. It gets a little bit scary, doesn't it? Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's a little frightening. But I will give a shout out to LDR and Richard Nelson. They have been very open to talks. You know, I've called Richard and text Richard personally about just, hey, here's an issue, here's what I want to talk about. And I also think that these bills are so long and they're so complicated. I think every day the legislators are learning new things about the bills, and us as business too. You know, you read a bill once and then you read it again and realize, oh no, this is going to affect the business. So I think as we move forward, you're continuing to learn about the bills and how it's going to affect everyday business life for these business owners.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that part up about how long and how complicated some of these bills are. It really feels like this session in particular, that we seem to be getting further and further away from the concept of single item legislation. Lumping a whole bunch of stuff into one, I worry is going to be dangerous when it comes time to hand things off to the folks at the polls in March, because we've seen time and again, if you give Louisianans, like let's say there's 10 items in a bill, they like 7, they dislike 3. We trend towards voting no to not approve the 3 as opposed to voting yes to approve the 7. When you get away from single item legislation, you run the risk of giving folks an excuse to vote no.
Of course. And of course, if the ballot language is long, you know, people are not going to read it.
Oh.
So I mean, if it's more than, you know, 7 sentences, they're out. So I think it's one of those things that, if this does pass and it does make it to the ballot box, being able to simplify it and make sure that the voters understand what it is and how it's going to affect them. So I don't know if that's a lot of education on different interest groups parts, or if it's LDR, the administration, being able to educate all the voters about what exactly this is going to look like for them.
Let's talk about effects here and how long it would take for both sides to take hold. If you are a small business, what happens first? The net positive effects of the overall drop in either personal or corporate income tax rate, the elimination or hopeful elimination of the inventory tax and corporate franchise taxes, or does it sting first to lose all those different credits along the way before you get to see the positive effects of the work that they're trying to do? Because if we're in that second scenario, we run the risk of losing some small businesses along the way.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you're going to feel at first is it depends on when they're going to want to start collecting sales tax, you know, whether that be January 1st, whether that be June 30th, they're going to have to hire someone. So your initial shock value, I think, is going to be, okay, how do we hire someone from your dog groomer that, you know, just goes around mobile that's going to need someone, or your handyman, one man in a truck, you know, that may not even own a computer. They just, you know, they have to figure out how to do that. So I think the cost, the initial cost of having to comply with sales tax, collecting and remitting, I think is going to be your first thing. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets to the inventory tax credit, if that leaves, you know, at the end of the year, having to pay that, if you're in a parish that decided to not take the $15 million lump sum, because that's definitely going to affect you because you're not going to get a credit. So that's additional money you're going to have to pay every year. And then if vendor comp goes too, you know, you're going to feel that also. And that's going to be, vendor comp's going to be felt by these businesses that are already collecting remitting sales tax, depending, you know, what type of business you are, on top of, okay, now the new businesses, the new services that are going to have to collect and remit. So I think you're going to feel it first in your business, like just the cost of doing business and having to either raise your prices or absorb those costs. So it's going to affect your bottom line before you even see, you know, maybe a potential increase in revenue at the end, you know, depending on the personal income tax rate. So I think one of those things that it's going to cost business owners more, and it may continue to cost them more depending how this plays out. If it's not, you know, if they don't have a drastic increase in revenue by the time they file their taxes every year, you know, it may cost them more every year to do this, to implement this plan.
She is Lee along with NFIB. Let's get you back on towards the end of the session when the picture's a lot more clear.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Brian.